members. Yes, Chair, there is one apology that I received from Honorable Ustok. He is on oversight with the portfolio
recording
committee,
in progress.
Portfolio Committee on Social Development to KZN and Gauteng.
Okay. That's the only apology that you have received?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
Chair, sorry, Chair. There is another request by Parliament TV that all members, when they speak, they must switch on their videos because the meeting is live.
Okay. All right. I'm sure members have been listening to that request. Okay, let's then proceed with our meeting. Once more, welcome, honorable members, and as we welcome all of you, let's bow our heads in remembering one of our colleagues who passed on and who was buried this past Sunday, Honorable Joyce Maluleka. She succumbed to COVID-related illness and she passed on sometime, I think, last week or so. Our condolences to the family, and I would like to invite members that we should observe a moment of silence as we bow our head in honor of our colleague who was serving with us in this committee. Can we have a moment of silence, please? Thank you very much. May your soul rest in peace. Honorable members, I take it that there is no need for us to adopt the agenda. There's only two items that are on our agenda today as referred to by the Honorable Speaker. The only thing that we have to do is just to adopt the minutes of the previous meeting, and then we get into the two items. Namsa, can we deal with the minutes? Okay, the minutes are projected there on the screen of our meeting of the 30th of April. The minutes have been circulated. Can I get an indication if the minutes are a true reflection of the meeting? And if so, can I get anybody to move for the adoption of the minutes?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes, Honorable Suel, as a true reflection.
Thank you very much, Honorable Suela. Honorable Tsake.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning all. I second the adoption of the minutes. True reflection of what you've discussed. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any dissenting view? None. The minutes are therefore agreed to. Let's move. As we move, honorable members, let's be cognizant of the request that they've received from the secretariat that if you want to make your input, please just switch on your video so that those who are following the discussions of this meeting must be able to see who's speaking. Okay, there are two matters before us, honorable members. we met on the 30th of April to look at these matters. Unfortunately, on the day in question, we were not well prepared as the minutes are reflecting. Documentation was not distributed, was not enough preparation for the meeting, and hence the meeting had to be adjourned Now, I'm happy to report, honorable members, that there's been substantial work that has been done in preparing for this meeting between myself and the team that has been assigned to work with the committee. We've managed to follow up, request the necessary responses, so that as this committee meets, we don't burden ourselves with the administrative issues, so that those issues are attended to prior to this meeting. It has always been my view that when we come to the meeting, we must come with a report that requires particular decisions by the members, not to come and deal with admin issues. Although procedural issues are as important as the substantive issues, but the admin issues, it's better that they are dealt with in the offices, and the Committee of Parliament is therefore presented with sufficient information to be able to take a decision, so, which is what we have done. So there are two matters, honorable members. Documentation, I think, has been circulated on Tuesday, I think it was on Tuesday, on both of these matters, the complaint of Dr. Makubela regarding the alleged misrepresentation by the chairperson of the board of Brand SA, which is the one matter. I think there's about 7 to 9 sets of documentation that has been distributed to the members. The second issue is the complaint by the chief whip of the official opposition, Honorable Mazoni, regarding the alleged or the incident which involved Honorable Paulze. So that matter also has been, some work has been done, including requesting Honorable Paulsen to respond to the allegations against him, and so forth. So we are ready to present the matter and to request the decision of the committee. So we are going to start with the first issue of Dr. Makubela's complaint against the chairperson of the Brand SA, Honor, Mrs. Tandi Tobias. And I am going to request Andile, who has been helping us from the legal services, to present the issue. I think on the documentation that has been circulated to the members by NAMSA, I think on Tuesday, there are about 7 documents that has been attached to that correspondence. There is a letter of complaint by Dr. Makubela to the speaker dated the 12th of March 2021, the first document. There is a letter by the speaker to the chairperson of this committee on the 24th of March, 2021. And then after receiving those, we then met subsequent to our meeting. I then addressed the letter first to the acting minister in the presidency. There are 2 letters that were dated the 6th and 31st. To the minister in the presidency. There is a letter that I addressed to the chairperson of the board of Brand SA dated the 6th of May, 2021. And then there is a response by the chairperson of the board of Brand SA, Mrs. Tobias, dated the 11th, and then the other one dated the 26th. And then there is a letter from Dr. Makubela to the chairperson in response to the letters from Brand SA, dated the 4th of June, then there is also a transcript of the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration, which was held on the 10th of March 2021. This is the meeting where the complaint is emanating from. So there are transcripts of that meeting as well, as requested by the chairperson of the board of Brand SA. We also shared this transcript with Dr. Makubele as well. And then there are notes that were made by Andile, the support from Legal Services to myself. Subsequent to this, there is a report that has been made, detailed one, not to me, but to the committee, which I think NAMTLA subsequently sent to the members. I must say that we also received a letter, I think, yesterday from the minister. The letter is dated the 31st of May, or somewhere thereabout. We only received it yesterday. So this is a full set of documentation that is available on this matter of the complaint of Dr. Makubele. It has been shared with all the members, and I think members have received, and I'm sure they've gone through the documents. Once more, I must apologize for the delay, but as you can see from this correspondence, there's been work that has been happening behind the scene. Unfortunately, some of the processes in Parliament were such that they had to be delayed. For instance, for us to get this transcript, we had to get a service provider. Parliament had to get a service provider. And so it was a process that took longer to be completed. But at this stage, I think I would like to invite Victor, not Victor, Andile. Sorry, Victor. I would like to invite Andile to present the report on what we have done regarding the case of the complaint of Dr. Makubele. Are you ready, Andile?
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me, Chair?
I can hear you.
Thanks. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members and the colleagues. I think the Chair has captured quite aptly the chronology of the event regarding this matter. You will note that on the 12th of March, the Speaker addressed a request, to the Chair in terms of Section 25 of PIPLA. Now, I want to emphasize this point that this request is in terms of Section 25 of PIPLA. And if you look at Section 25, you will see that the only relief which this committee can do is to entertain the request to have the response recorded. So in other words, the only thing that the committee can do, which is within its remit mandate, is to have a request recorded in terms of Section 25 of PIPLA. Now, you will see that if you read the letter, there's a plethora of issues which Dr. Makubele raises. But I think the nub of what the issue is about is well captured in a note I made, I think, to the committee dated the 22nd of July. 2021. Now, you will see there that Dr. Makubele alleges that on the 10th of March there was a report in the Business Day, and the report made mention of the fact that the previous CEO of Brand SA, which is Dr. Makubele, was suspended in 2019 over allegations of misconduct. An independent disciplinary hearing recommended that he be fired, that he was allowed to finish his contract, which expired at the end of July 2020. So what we did, Honorable, as the chairperson has said, in line with the Audi rule, we wrote to all the parties concerned to say that they must give us a sense of exactly what happened regarding this matter. We also received a transcript which in a verbatim manner, sort of like put us in the picture regarding what was said. Now you will see that in terms of the transcript, reference is only made to Dr. Makubela in three instances. The first instance is on page 3 of the transcript, where the deputy minister in the presidency, Ms. Thembi Seweya, refers to Dr. Makubela as the former CEO. Now you'll also note that on page 10 of the transcript, chairperson of the board, Ms. Tobias, refers to Dr. Makubela as the suspended CEO, and she goes on and says, in inverted commas. In other words, she says suspended CEO in inverted commas. And I think the last part where Dr. Makubela's name is mentioned is by a member of the board, Mr. Mlungisi Lulu Johnson, who also refers to Dr. Makubela as a former CEO of the board. Now, if you look at the correspondence, particularly Dr. Makubela's letter, dated the 4th of June, 2021, what he tells us is that he was on a voluntary leave of suspension, sorry, on a voluntary leave of absence for a month, which is from the 20th of April 2018 up until the 20th, sorry, up until the 19th of May 2018. Now, but in the same letter, he says that from the 19th of April 2018 up until the end of his contract, which was on the 31st of July 2020, he has never set his foot at work. He doesn't tell us as to between the 20th of May up until the 31st of July, what was happening. In other words, was it a voluntary leave of absence, or was it a special leave, or was he suspended? But you also see, according to his own version, he says, the board was happy to keep me away from Blend SA on full pay, which tells you that it was not a voluntary arrangement between the employer and him. Now, he also makes a special mention of a copy of the minutes, which he has dated the 3rd of October 2018, where a statement is made in the minutes that accordingly the CEO should be kept on suspension until the new inquiry has been completed. You will also see that in Brand SA's response, particularly on page 39, in the letter dated the 26th of May 2021, sorry, on paragraph 59, that a bold statement is made there by the chairperson of the board, that Dr. Makubela makes bold references to a number of minutes, the proceedings for which took place while he was suspended or on special leave. The chairperson uses the word suspended. Now, we make the point that suspension of an employee means keeping an employee away from the workplace temporarily for reasons of discipline, whereas leave of absence is permission from an employer to be away from work for a period of time. It might be voluntary, mandatory, paid or unpaid. Now, it seems as this year the bone of contention is whether Dr. Makubela was indeed suspended. And I make the point that the factual position is that because there were disciplinary proceedings which were chaired by Advocate Ceci Paloi, we can say that, and we can claim from the reports that Dr. Makubela was indeed suspended. But the issue now, which takes us to the second point, is whether the suspension was lawful or not. And I think if you read the letter from the president, together with the submissions which Dr. Makubela makes, is that the trust deed of Port SA was very clear, I think in Article 20, that issues of discipline of the CEO and dismissal are the responsibility of the board in concurrence with the executive authority. And you will recall that the late Minister Mthembu, when this matter was given to him for concurrence, he said that no, the parties must try to resolve it amicably. So the fact of the matter says that factually we have a situation where, whether we say that the process was independent or not independent, there was a disciplinary process, there was a disciplinary hearing. So factually, yes, it appeared to us that there was a suspension. But the issue now is whether the suspension was lawful or not, particularly where even on that issue there was no concurrence from the executive authority. Now, the point that I make initially is that this referral change is in terms of Section 25. And I think if the committee is of the view, for instance, that the statement made by the chairperson to the portfolio committee on the 10th of March did not capture accurately the state of affairs at Brand SA, then Dr. Makubela can be asked to give us something in writing. The committee can look at it. If the committee okays it, the committee can then publish it on the parliamentary publication, which is 86. But I want to make this point here that we can't say that Parliament was deceived, because for that to arise at that particular conclusion, even Section 17.2d says that there has to be some willful intent. So in other words, we will have to prove that the chairperson of the board, when she said that Dr. Makube was suspended on allegations of misconduct, there was an intent, I mean, on her part to mislead, to lie, or to deceive Parliament. And I think the fact that at the very onset, she qualified it and said, suspended CEO inverted commas. He was alive to the fact that, because you must remember, the current board chaired by Ms. Tobias is not the board that disciplined Dr. Makubela. This board was only appointed in November 2019, and the first issue on the agenda that they had to deal with was this issue of the suspension of Dr. Makubela. My sense is that if I may make a recommendation to the committee, for the committee to deliberate on it, would be that perhaps it would make sense to refer to Dr. Makubela as the former CEO of Brand SA. But I cannot say in good conscience conclude that the chairperson of the board, the current chair of the board, deceived or misled the committee on the 10th of March when he said, because you must remember, sir, there were two issues on the agenda. The reason why Brand SA was called, they were required to brief the committee on two aspects. The first aspect was the issue of the position of the CEO, and the second issue was about the stability or bringing stabilization to the institution itself, which is Brand SA. So, Chair, my recommendation would be that perhaps, because Rule 2144B, Chair, says that the committee can deal with this based on verbal submissions or oral submissions, I mean, if the committee deems that it. But my recommendation, Chair, would be that perhaps if the committee wants to interact with all the parties concerned, I think Dr. Makubela would also accept a situation where he is referred to as the former CEO as opposed to the suspended CEO in inverted commas. But if you listen to the paper that I was giving, Chair, there was a disciplinary process chaired by someone from outside, which is Advocate Station, Maloy. It is a particular decision, but of course the minister didn't concur with that, and this board was faced with dealing with it. So I'll end there, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Andile. I think the members now have been taken to. Yeah, just raise your hand. I just want to say something before I open up, Honorable Ndlozi.
It's the
allow the legal advisor to leave the platform. Not the platform. Can I ask Larry if you indulge me?
Okay. Your connectivity is quite bad, Honorable Ndlozi. We couldn't hear what you're saying. But I think I picked up towards the end that you wanted to ask a question of clarity. I'm not sure where you are. It does look like you have got serious difficulty there in connecting. But yeah, I heard you want to ask clarity. I was going to open for clarities before we go into the discussion, but I just wanted to say that the recommendation, I think, from our side is that there should be a formal hearing where Dr. Makubela would be invited to give oral evidence. The chairperson of Brand SA would also be invited, as well as the presidency in the form of the minister, either acting or substantive in the presidency. So that after hearing the oral evidence, the committee will be much more placed in a position that will be able to deliberate and to dispose of this matter. So that is the firm recommendation that we are making. But otherwise, let me open for clarity-seeking questions from the members, and we'll start with Honorable Ndlozi. Honorable Ndlozi? Are you still there? Okay. Honorable Ndlozi's connectivity is not stable. All right. Any other member would like to ask questions of clarity to Andile? Honorable Ndlozi?
No, Chair. Now, Sophie, I, your statement at the end there made sense, what the recommendation is. So I'm clear what you are recommending now. But if I may proceed, what I think about the recommendation, I don't know if we are at that stage, but I'm now sufficiently clear. I would like to engage with the recommendation. If that's the opportunity now. Otherwise, I'll await my turn. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Ndlozi. It does look like the members are sufficiently covered. There's no clarity-seeking questions. So they are ready to engage with a substantive recommendation. Yeah, you can come back, Honorable Ndlozi.
Thanks, Chair. I don't agree. Sorry.
Just a minute. Honorable Hussein, I see your hand up. You want to engage with the recommendation, or you want clarity?
No, I was waiting for you to ask for recommendation. Yeah. Recommendation.
Okay, good morning, Honorable Hussein. Sorry, Honorable Ndlozi, you can come back.
Okay, thanks, Chair. No, I don't think we need to have any oral hearing. There is no case here. I think we must write back that, or rather we must conclude that there's nothing further to investigate. There was no malice. There was no misrepresentation of anything. Because in this court, you know, part of what we have to embrace about the robust democratic discourse is precisely that people must be able to make their opinions, of course using facts and all of that, but if they know that they will constantly be taken for some hearings,
think it will in the future be seriously abused, or people will consider that before, you know, they make robust representations to us? From what we are hearing here, there were even inverted commas, there was a suspension which was not technically, and that's splitting hairs, conceded to, or the minister did not concede to. There was a, so we don't have any, we're not even seeing further to investigate. We don't have to hold any hearing. In my view, based on the documents in front of us, we must close the matter, that we don't have to waste anyone's time, we don't have to waste our time. There was no willful intent. There's no prima facie evidence that effect. Anybody could have arrived at the conclusion of the chairperson of the board, particularly qualified as an inverted commas. It's discursive. So there's nothing further in my view. I'm not convinced, and I think Parliament must be taken seriously. It's time, our time, in fact, and our responsibilities have to rise to much higher expectations, much higher orders of misconduct. Not this. It's really. I'm afraid to say other things of what I suspect, but that's my recommendation. We really don't have time, and we must close it at that, in my view. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Ndlozi. Honorable Hussein?
Chairperson,
Try and get closer to your gadget, Honorable Hussein. I can't hear you. I'm not sure whether I'm the only one. You are not audible enough. Can you try once more?
Is that better?
Yeah. No, now it's better, yeah.
Okay. So, Chair, I think from what I pick up in the documentation that was before us, is that there are two issues at play. The one is a labor dispute between Dr. Makubela and Brand SA. The other is a complaint of whether or not Honorable Tobias had misled Parliament. I pick up from it as well, Chair, that there appears to be an attempt to invite this committee to engage on the substantive issues of the labor dispute, which I don't think falls within the mandate of this committee. The only issue I understand that we should be considering is whether or not Honorable Tobias had misled Parliament. From that information that was given to us, it's very clear from the comments that Honorable Tobias had made to Parliament is that there was indeed a disciplinary hearing, there was indeed an outcome, and there was indeed a decision taken by Brand SA to suspend and fire, if I can use those words, Dr. Makubela. My own view is I think that Dr. Makubela is on a fishing expedition trying to engage this portfolio committee to take action where no action should actually be taken. There is more than enough evidence, I think, before us to suggest that there was no misleading of Parliament given the background to the matter. So in my view, Chairperson, I think that this case should end here. And if Dr. Makubela wants to make any further claims or any prejudice that he suffered, then there are more than enough civil opportunities for him to pursue that through the Labour Court or any other civil court for that matter. But I don't think Parliament should be engaged in this matter any further. And I think we should just seize it there and let it go. There's been more than enough drama on this case already, and I think that Parliament and Brand SA needs to make some sort of progress and put this matter behind them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hussein. Honorable Lakode.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Honorable Chairperson, let me take this opportunity to welcome the presentation by co-legal advisor to this committee, Andile, and also to agree with the honorable members who spoke before me that this matter doesn't fall within our scope. Ours, if there was anything to do, it was to probe whether the Brand SA chairperson did mislead Parliament. So with that, honorable chairperson, we as the committee must guard against being dragged into dealing with the merits of this issue between an employer and an employee, which we still believe that we believe that it's not within our scope of work. So I want to agree with the suggestion made by the legal advisor that what we need to do as this committee, in fact, it's not the legal advisor, it's the other honorable members who said that we can write back to Dr. Makubela to say that according to our observation as this committee, there is no case that we can deal with as this committee. The matters between the employer and the employee and the chairperson of Brand South Africa did not mislead Parliament. If he feels strongly that the Brand SA chairperson did mislead Parliament, then what we can do is to request a written representation from him and also from the Brand South Africa as chairperson. But I still feel strongly after the presentation, chairperson, that we shouldn't waste time in dealing with this matter any further. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Chief Whip, Honorable Tlakude. yeah, I think members have spoken. We didn't want to come with a recommendation that says this matter, there is no merit here, it must be dismissed. We wanted to place all the facts at the disposal of the members. And if you look at the matter, indeed members are correct. From the transcript of that committee meeting, there is no way that where the chairperson is said to have said what was reported in the business day from the transcript that we obtained. Which is clear what the chairperson was saying. Indeed, she was even using inverted commas. But even if that were to be the case, even if in the actual documentation that were distributed was to the effect of what the business day reported, that still is not misleading of Parliament, because that is the factual situation. The facts, as we can gather from the documentation, is that there was a leave of absence which was taken by Dr. Makubela. There was, subsequent to that leave, there was a sort of suspension in a sense that he was required to be at home and not come back. So that was suspension which in the subsequent correspondence, it does acknowledge that there was suspension. There was a DC, and that DC was chaired by senior counsel. And that DC recommended dismissal, and the board of Brand SA accepted the recommendation of the DC. The board then approached the late minister, Mthembu, may his soul rest in peace. Minister Mthembu requested that there must be an amicable settlement. There was never an amicable settlement until the contract of Dr. Makubela came to an end. So even if we were to accept what is in the business day, it is still the correct version of the facts. So I think
we hear members. We had felt that we needed to comply with the fairness, the Audi. We should invite all of them, but we hear members say that there's no need. Just on the documents that has been presented to us, it's quite clear that there was no misleading of Parliament. And our role and our duty as these powers and privileges ends here. We can't get into the other areas about the dispute between the employer and the employee, including some of the allegations that Dr. Makubele is making. If you see the documentation, there is a document that is submitted called the Anatomy of Corruption, something to that effect, which we are invited to get into that, and I think that it is not our duty as this Powers and Privileges Committee to enter into that space. There are other institutions which are much more competent to do that. So that is the conclusion of the matter. We are closing this complaint of Dr. Makubele on the basis that there is no misleading of Parliament by the chairperson of the board. The information that we have is that there was a suspension, there was a DC, there was a conclusion, and what the chairperson of the Brand SA board did was to inform Parliament through the Portfolio Committee of Public Service and Administration of the actual situation that was obtaining. So that therefore closes the issue of Dr. Makubele's complaint. We will prepare a report and will also communicate the decision of this committee to both Dr. Makubele and the chairperson of the board of Brand SA and the presidency, and we'll report back to the speaker. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's get into the next. I see the hand of Honorable Hussein. Is it an old hand?
Chairperson, it's not an old hand. I just wanted to make just one comment. Firstly, let me just say I completely agree with your last comment, and my apologies for raising this, but I just think if I keep quiet about it, it won't be fair. And I wanted to just put on the record, Chairperson, although I'm 100% in agreement with everything that you said, it does trouble me that Dr. Makubele's termination or suspension or that entire drama was brought about as a result of his failure to declare a 4 million rand tender that was given to his former brother-in-law, and then the settlement of a further 9 million rand paid out to him as part of the settlement. I think I just wanted to put that on the record, Chairperson. I, as members of Parliament and the National Assembly, surely that is not something that we should just simply overlook and not express a view on. I will accept if you reject my proposal to include that in the in our report, but I do think it will be irresponsible of us not to express a view on that, that somebody doesn't declare a tender be given to their family member, and then to settle the matter they get paid a further 9 million rand. In my view, Chair, it's just simply unacceptable, but I'll leave that in your hands to make a decision. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Hussein. I think there are allegations and counter-allegations. The document that Dr. Makubele attached to us and the substantive manner in which he addresses us on the corruption of the then chairperson of Brand SA together with another board member and a host of other people involved in the corruption that is alleging, and the outcome of the DC and what brought about this DC. As you say, from the documentation, there was a tender that was awarded for 4 million, which involved his then brother-in-law, and the fact that he did not disclose, and the DC coming to that conclusion and recommending the suspension. All of those matters, in my view, do not fall within the purview of this committee, Honorable Hussein, because our committee is established to look at the other matters like contempt of parliament, like the complaint that Dr. Makubela was bringing to us in line with Section 25 of the same Act. And so for us to come to a conclusion that this or that should happen like that, it will then mean that we have to probe the merits. And therefore, that would require that we must follow up on these allegations of corruption and so forth. And my view is that it falls outside of our mandate. We should be careful not to be dragged into allegations and counter-allegations. There is a relevant portfolio committee in Parliament, which I think is Public Service and Administration Portfolio Committee, which is much more empowered to follow up on the issues that you are raising, Honorable Hussein, about good governance in Brand SA, about wasteful expenditure, about conflict of interest, and all of that. But that is not within the purview of our mandate. and I don't think that we should include that in our final report. That we are well, although they are very concerning, I must say, but they fall outside of the purview of this committee and the complaint that has been brought to our attention. Okay, I see the hand of Honorable Ndlozi. I don't know whether you want to have a second bite, because I thought that we should close that matter in a manner that I was summarizing. But let me allow you, Honorable Ndlozi.
No, thanks, Chair. I just wanted to agree with this recent summary following the proposition by Honorable Hussein. I think it's a fair conclusion you've made, and indeed we should allow the matter to rest. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, let's go to the next item. The next item is a complaint that we've received. It's a referral that we have received from the speaker regarding the complaint by the chief whip of the opposition, Honorable Mazoni, regarding an incident that involved Honorable Paulsen and two or three other members of the Democratic Alliance, Honorable Van Damme, who has since resigned as a member of the National Assembly, and I think Honorable Mazoni and Honorable Mileham. I'm not sure whether I'm pronouncing the surname correctly. The complaint has been referred to us. We have since followed up the administrative part of it. And as a result of that, there is documentation that has been produced, and I just want to quickly go to that, which has been shared with the members. There's about 9 sets of documentation. The first one is the letter of complaint from Honorable Mazoni to the speaker. And the speaker referring the matter to us, dated the 12th of March. Subsequent to that, we had a meeting in April, wherein we said that we must follow up this matter, the chairperson and the team. And as part of following up the matter, I addressed a letter to Honorable Paulsen, dated the 4th of May, 2021, And there was a response from Honorable Paulsen dated the 20th of May 2021. Now, as a result of that, we discussed this matter in the, with the team, and we came to a conclusion that we needed to get an opinion from council as to whether there's prima facie evidence and what should we do with this matter, how should we proceed. And so we requested the legal services of Parliament to source that opinion, which was done. And senior counsel then gave us an opinion which we attached on the documentation. But before senior counsel could do that, he requested a copy of the minutes together with the recording and the unrevised answer of the proceedings, which is something that took some time, especially the sourcing of the service provider to do that. But ultimately, this information was made available and was shared with the senior counsel. As a result of that, senior counsel then advised us, and there is a copy of the advice from senior counsel, about 17 pages there. The conclusion of this advice is that there is prima facie evidence that could be followed up that relate to a charge of threatened assault, which is in contravention of Section 7D of the Act, against the mentioned members, I think two. And the council says, subject to further investigation, a charge of threatened assault can be also added on against another member. Not against another member, but on another member. Threatened assault on another member. So basically that is that, honorable members, who have shared all this documentation with yourself. And so I am going to invite Mrs. Gangen just to summarize this matter so that the members can then start to engage with the issue. Tiloshni, are you on the platform?
Good morning, Chairperson. I am on the platform.
Yeah, can you please share just the present to members a summary of the issues here.
I will do so, Chairperson.
Yeah, over to you.
Thank you. Good morning to the honourable members and to all on the platform this morning. As already indicated, a legal opinion was sought and furnished, which has been furnished to all members. Members will have noted that this opinion is quite detailed and comprehensive, and so we thought it might be helpful to take the committee through a brief overview of the opinion for purposes of today's meeting. Members will recall that a complaint was received on the 4th of March from Ms. Natasha Mazzoni, MP. The Speaker referred this complaint to the Chairperson of the Powers and Privileges Committee on the 12th of March for consideration and report. The subject matter of the complaint were the alleged utterances by Mr. Paulsen MP, which was alleged to have been made to Ms. Mazzoni MP, Ms. Ponzili Van Dam MP, and from Mr. Kevin Meelham MP at the plenary sitting of the National Assembly on the 2nd of March. In the complaint, Ms. Mazzoni MP charges Mr. Paulsen MP with contravention of Section 7D and 7E of PEPLA. Ms. Mazzoni avers that Mr. Paulsen is thus in contempt of Parliament in terms of Section 13 of the Act. Section 12 of the Act empowers the National Assembly to inquire into and to pronounce on an alleged act to be in contempt of Parliament and to take disciplinary action. Section 12 requires that the Standing Committee deal with all such inquiries. The complaint essentially, Section 7, deals with prohibited acts in terms of Parliament and its members. Section 7 stipulates that a person may not assault or threaten or deprive a member of any benefit of any account of the member's conduct in Parliament or a House or a committee. While Parliament or a House or a committee is in a meeting, create or take part in any disturbance within the precinct. Section 13 of the Act provides that if a member is guilty of contempt of Parliament, is guilty of contempt of Parliament if the member contravenes, amongst others, Section 7. It follows, therefore, that in proving a contravention of either Section 7D or 7E, contempt of Parliament will be established. The legal test for Section 7D of the Act, the legal definition of the word assault as common law was endorsed by the Constitutional Court as the act of intentionally and unlawfully applying force to a person directly or indirectly or attempting or threatening by any act to apply that force if the person making the threat causes the other person to believe that he has the ability, he or she has the ability to effect this purpose. For the purpose of Section 7D, assault therefore means intentionally and unlawfully applying force to the person of another directly or indirectly or attempting to do so. Threaten a member includes the act of intentionally and unlawfully threatening by any act to apply that force indirectly or directly. And if that person makes the threat, causing the other person to believe that they have the ability to affect that person. So in terms of Section 7E, a disturbance means any act which interferes or disrupts the proceedings of Parliament or a House or a committee. But it does not include any act committed by a member in the exercise of his or her privilege contemplated in Section 58(1) and 71(1) of the Constitution. So with reference to the impugned conduct of Mr. Paulson, we've got to establish whether the conduct falls within the protective ambit of parliamentary privilege in terms of Section 58(1) of the Constitution and whether it's excluded as the definition of disturbance. And we would have to have regard to whether the conduct interfered or disrupted with the NA's plenary session or had the propensity to do so by incapacitating it to such an extent that the NA could not conduct its business on the 2nd of March and that the business could not resume within a reasonable time. Counsel was provided with the link of the video recording to the proceedings of the NA on the 2nd of March, as well as the transcript of the proceedings and relevant minutes. For the purposes of assessing of whether there is prima facie evidence to sustain the charges, counsel was of the view that, strictly speaking, it wasn't necessary to consider the responding statement of Mr. Paulson. However, counsel was of the view that the responding statement setting out his defense does assist in his admission of some of the allegations. With regards to the evidence in relation to the charges, the charge of assault or threatening a member. Assault in terms of Section 7D of the Act excludes the threat of assault, but in all other respects bears its common law meaning. What remains, therefore, is the charge of threatened assault. The complaint does not specifically specify who the intended victims of the assault were. It merely lists the alleged utterings by Mr. Paulson to three individuals and says that in light of those statements, Mr. Paulson should have been found to have threatened assault. However, having regard to the available evidence, it's not fatal to the charges. So in respect of the charge creating or taking part in a disturbance, the alleged conduct of Mr. Paulson and his admitted statements cannot be said to have been done in the legitimate exercise of parliamentary privilege. The subject matter was unrelated to any business before the House. It does not appear that his conduct falls to be excluded within the definition of disturbance of a virtue of parliamentary privilege. The threshold that was set in the constitutional case in the Democratic Alliance is quite high. The interference, therefore, must be so severe that it completely incapacitates the NA from carrying on the business of the House. So it doesn't appear, with regards to the disturbance, whether there's sufficient prima facie evidence to sustain a charge under Section 7E of the Act. Counsel's view is that there is prima facie evidence to sustain a charge of threatened assault in contravention of Section 7D of the Act against Mr. Meelham, Ms. Van Dam, and subject to further investigation by Ms. Mazzoni. Counsel was of the view that a disciplinary hearing could be convened to determine whether there was contempt of court, of Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Gangen. Thank you for summarizing the opinion of counsel, and just to record the background of the case. Now we are going to open it for members, but maybe let me just put our recommendation to this meeting. Our recommendation, honorable members, is that we should accept the opinion of counsel and therefore resolve that we should proceed to hold a formal inquiry into the complaint of these allegations. That is the first one. Secondly, the second recommendation is that we should request that the initiator should be appointed in line with the provisions of the Powers and Privileges Act, who will then put the case and help the committee to handle this matter, and that appointment should be done in consultation with the chairperson by Parliament. Of course, with the consultation of the chairperson of the committee. So that is our recommendation to this meeting, honorable members. I am going to open for members to then engage with the issues, including these two recommendations. Okay. Honorable Ndlozi, you'll be the first, followed by Honorable Hussein and Honorable Lord Richard. Honorable Ndlozi?
Thank you, Chair. No, before I express... Sorry?
Don't you mind opening your video?
Yeah, it's terrible. Before those kinds of demands are made, you guys in government as the ANC, you need to strengthen connectivity in South Africa, across the country, you see what I mean? Thank you. Now, it's a quick clarity to the legal advice. I didn't catch, I wanted to hear what she said, it's counsel's advice. Then the video cut me off, and then I came back when you were talking. I didn't hear what she said in relation to what her advice of what needs to be investigated. Can you please clarify that before I express myself? Or can she just repeat that for me? And I apologize. As I said, it was the connectivity problem I had. I didn't hear her last words where she started by saying, it is counsel advice that. When I came back, You were talking, no, we must appoint an initiator. So I got cut
don't know. Namhlanje kicked me out for those comments.
All right. Yeah, maybe you have been sabotaged by somebody, but certainly not. okay. Let's just be fair to you and ask Mrs. Gangan, if you can just repeat your last point, and then from there we are going to then take the members. I'm also going to repeat the recommendation just for fairness to Honorable Gloss.
Thank you, Chair. So I think I got cut off possibly at the point where I said that Council's view is that there is prima facie evidence to sustain the charge of contempt in terms of Section 7D of PEPLA.
That is what Ms. Gangan was saying. She was summarizing the opinion of counsel, and counsel is saying to us that there is prima facie evidence to sustain a charge of contempt in terms of 7D, I think. And therefore, I was saying that our recommendation is that we should accept the opinion and the advice of counsel, and in accepting the opinion, we should then proceed to hold a formal inquiry in line with the Act to test this allegation. That is the first recommendation. The second recommendation is that we should request that an initiator be appointed, and that should be done in consultation with the chairperson of the committee. The initiator who's going to start with the whole process, and then it follows from there that there's going to be correspondence between Parliament and the member who would then be formally charged. And then the process is going to unfold from there. There's going to be an identification of witness. A hearing will be set, and the hearing will continue where the evidence will be presented orally and otherwise. And then the committee will come to a determination. Okay, Honorable Ndlozi, I hope you have heard that. You can come back later. Let me get Honorable Hussein, followed by Honorable Northrit and Honorable Zuela, Honorable Glagude, and Honorable Zek. Honorable Hussein? Yeah, can you fix your gadget there? We can't hear you.
Yeah, I fixed the gadget now. Is that better?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I was saying, Chairperson, that having read all of the documents that were sent to us, as well as the advice, the legal advice that was provided, it's clear to me, and I'm sure clear to everybody on this portfolio committee, that there's no doubt in my mind that there was an altercation of some sort that occurred in the House on that particular day. If it were the case that Honorable Paulson was either not in the House or there was no incident or altercation that occurred, then I would have been somewhat reluctant to suggest that we do proceed with some sort of an inquiry even further. But that's not the case here. There's video evidence, there's the statement from Honorable Paulson himself, by his own admission that there was some sort of altercation. What we don't know is exactly who said what, and there are two versions of that story. So I think, Chair, to be fair to both Honorable Mazzoni, the complainant, as well as Honorable Paulson and on his version of the story, that there should be further inquiry into the matter so that the both of them can have the opportunity to ventilate and place before the portfolio committee all of the evidence. I think that would be the only fair way to proceed. The second point I want to raise, Chairperson, is having read the advice from the legal advisor, who seemed to have looked at much more information, there was one matter that came to my attention in that document, where it relates to when that altercation occurred. The deputy speaker at the time commented and said, this is what happens when irrationality prevails over the house. To which Honorable Paulson then responded, this is what happens when old people sit in the chair. Now, Chairperson, on that very comment itself, I do think that should also be probed during the further inquiry and disciplinary hearing that needs to be held. I don't think it's acceptable for any member of the House under those circumstances when the presiding officer tries to call the House to order, retorts in such a fashion to insult the presiding officer at the time. So I wish to add a further recommendation, Chairperson, that one, we proceed with a disciplinary hearing, and two, that this committee adds to those charges to probe and get Honorable Paulson's response to the comments that we made, which was a direct insult to the Deputy Speaker at the time. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stein. Honorable Lotrit.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm not going to repeat what my colleague said. I fully agree with the Honorable Hussein, and I will also support his proposal that the scope of the inquiry also includes the possible contempt of the presiding officer. So I will leave my comment at that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sivela.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and thanks to the presenter who has presented that report. I support the issue of DC as well as your recommendations to appoint an initiator. And then for the sake of the decorum of the House, I would like to support the two latter speakers that another charge be added on the behavior of the member towards the presiding officer, because we must make sure that the decorum of the House is being observed all the time by all of us as members of Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Suela. Honorable Deputy Chief Whip Kakude.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation by the presenter. Honorable Chairperson, I want to agree with my colleagues based on the material that we have before us, meaning the report, the letters and everything. I think we have a basis to conduct an inquiry as this Powers and Privileges Committee. So, Honorable Chair, I support that the inquiry and disciplinary hearing take place and be done by this committee as soon as possible, and both and all parties involved must be given an opportunity to make their representation either physically or written representation, so that we come to, as this committee, we come to a conclusion based on the facts before us. And I support that we get the initiator as you have already suggested. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lakude. Honorable Ndlozi.
Thanks, Chairperson. We have three sets of sources, which I think we must apply ourselves a little bit more than the honorable members who have spoken have done. We've got a video of the events that occurred on that day. Then we've got Ms. Mazon's complaint. And then we've got Paulson's written representation. Mr. Paulson's written representation. We've got the deputy speaker who reigns on a situation of altercation where the parties that have all been mentioned, the only person charged or the only person who is recommended to be charged is Paulson. Even from the legal advice, after having interrogated all these things, you still come to the conclusion of only one individual. Paulson must be charged. Everybody that just spoke says Paulson must even have a further charge on him. You've seen the video. You saw the actors. What kind of justice is that? So my view is there was an intense moment in Parliament, which in everyone's version, a member charged on another, that member responds and reports to the speaker, please, this guy charged on me. The deputy speaker says, sit down, don't call him those things, you're calling him, withdraw. He says, okay, which statement must I withdraw? The deputy speaker doesn't say which statement he must withdraw. He just basically says he must withdraw. Must I withdraw that he charged on me? Must I withdraw that I said he's a white boy? Must I withdraw the request that you rain on him not to charge on me? But what happens to Paulson in the video? He is literally, in the end, asked to leave the house because of his conduct. First punishment. Paulson leaves, complies with the directives of the deputy speaker. On a situation which we all have witnessed there on the video, the honorable main liar, excuse me, I don't get his name properly, charges to Paulson. Paulson is told to withdraw. Paulson is told to leave the house. He leaves the house. He has already paid for his conduct. Honorable Maina is not. Honorable Mazon is not. And I want to come on the video. You literally see, Honorable Mazon said, you see this hand, you must ask the other guy. By all reasonable reading, that too is a provocation. But we're not talking about it. Clear, articulated on the screen. It's a clear promise of an assault. So, Honorable Van Damme is also asked to leave the house for her conduct. She complies with what the deputy speaker says and leaves the house. There's no conversation, obviously, at this case. But the recommendation says Paulson must be investigated for a possible threat to Van Damme, to Mazon, to Milner. That's the after you saw the evidence, how can you recommend that only Paulson has to be investigated? We're not being fair, honorable members. If we want to have a parliament where all of us feel represented, you cannot approach that situation on those bases. You cannot approach it like that. So, there's no, in my view, and I wanted to ask the legal advisor, what is the prima facie evidence of the promise of assault from Paulson? I didn't get it in any of the documents, because Paulson says, had you not stopped Honorable Maina, who is Honorable Natasha's husband apparently, I'm not sure of the fact, then I can tell you now, I'm not going to allow a person to charge at me, whatever that he was going to do. I was not going to stand by. You would have not slept with him tonight. He would have not spent the night with you tonight. He says that. I'm happy you stopped him because I was not going to stand. That's the origin. And you leave the situation after the video, after the representations, you leave there and you still think we're dealing with Paulson. No, honorable members. We cannot treat our members like that. I'm not saying that we must excuse Honorable Colson. We even said it through the whip that was in charge in the EFF that we'll accept your ruling. Colson must go. Two wrongs don't make a right. But he has already been punished. You cannot turn a blind eye on other acts. He has already been punished for what happened in the house. He left the house. You took his privilege already to partake in what he's elected as a member of parliament to do, to partake in the business. He has already been punished. What more do you want?
Okay.
So I'm saying that this matter must end there. But we've got the political responsibility, the rest of us, to go rein on the other members. And I'm saying it's a political responsibility, comrades. A member was physically charged. If that's not the case, there would have not been a stopping of Honorable Maina. But you're not discussing that. Even DA, honorable members of the DA, they're not even mentioning that. They're not concerned. Honorable Colson had to be emotional. Any reasonable human being would have responded like that. But he still complied, leave the house. He has already been punished. Drop the matter. There's nothing else we must do. There's no prima facie evidence that he further. We don't have any evidence to that effect. If you don't have a letter from Honorable Van Damme, you don't have Honorable Van Damme's version. She's not even no longer a member of Parliament. If you want to pursue that, I still recommend to you. It is not in your best. It's not in the best interest of this order we are talking about. You are selecting one member from a situation where there were so many actors. The matter in relation to Paulson, he has already been punished. If you want to proceed on this matter, my recommendation is the only charges that must be preferred are the people who have not been punished for their acts in there, who never lost any privilege to participate in that house, who made provocations, Honorable Maina, Honorable Mazon. Their conduct was not punished. So if you want to proceed, that's the only way. Not Paulson. Paulson has already paid for his conduct. Drop the matter when it comes to Paulson. That's my recommendation.
Thank you, Honorable Glossy. I think you have made your point. Lest you repeat yourself, I think honorable members have heard you. I'm just going to take, I see Victor wants to advise, and then I'm going to try and summarize, and then I'll come back to the members. I see hands there, I'll come back. Let me just take Victor for now.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my point is quite limited to the matter of procedure.
Closer to your gadget.
Can you hear me now, Chair?
Yeah.
I'm saying, Chair, I'm uncertain on a procedural matter. When I read Rule 12 and 14(1), it empowers the committee to consider matters referred to this committee by the Speaker, as opposed to Rule 214(3), which empowers the committee to initiate matters of research on matters of privilege. So I'm certain that the committee has the competence to expand the scope of matters referred to this committee, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's the point that I wanted to come to, Victor, in line with the rules. Just to say, you know, on the matter that we're dealing with now, it's a matter that has been referred, Honorable Ndlozi. It's not a matter that we have initiated ourselves. And I'm sure if there was another complaint about the other three members, certainly this committee has got a duty to look at that matter. But for now, there's only one complaint that has been referred to us by the Speaker, and we have to limit ourselves to the complaint that is before us. And so as part of the process, we'll have to interrogate that, which we have asked for an advice, and the advice is saying that it's prima facie on the basis
of the information that was brought to the attention of counsel. There's prima facie evidence of a threatened assault, and therefore we should proceed in that regard. And so if there are other complaints, those complaints also, we could also take them through the process. But besides that, I think we may be a bit more advanced, because what we are doing, we're initiating a process that will interrogate all the facts. We may well come to a conclusion that the Honorable Ndlozi is placing before the committee, but we are not yet there. For now, we wish to interrogate, because if we are to come to a conclusion about exactly what happened, then it means that all the members should have been exposed to the same evidence, look at it collectively, and decide. And so that is the process that we are now going to enter into. So we should not put the proverbial horse before the cart before the horse. So what we are doing now, we're initiating the process. And then we will interrogate the evidence. And whichever way the evidence is leading us, that's the way that we're going to follow. So I'm a bit concerned that we want to start interrogating all the evidence before us, before that process is led, before the evidence is led before us. So we're already beginning to interrogate the evidence, and I don't think that we should go there now. Those are the points that I thought I should make for now. I see hands again. I'm going to open. I don't want this discussion to take more than 10 minutes, because we've already made our points. My apologies. We've already made our points, Honorable Members. I'm just going to open up. If there is anything that members have feel that they've said, they've not said, that they want to supplement their earlier submissions, I'm going to allow, but I'm going to give just 2 minutes to each member to supplement their points, because I see the hands are not going down. Honorable Ndlozi is also coming back, probably to respond to what the chairperson is saying. But I'm going to allow all members to speak, and I'm going to summarize what is the view of the meeting, and then we are going to close the meeting in the next 10 to 15 minutes. Honorable Dlakude.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I want to welcome your summary, Honorable Chair, by agreeing with you that where we are now, we are not dealing with the merits or demerits of this this case. This is the initiation stage where a case is referred to this committee. And as members of this committee, we are expected to whether agree to proceed with the inquiry or not, not to get into the merits or defend or deal with whatever happened in the House. So, Honorable Chairperson, I want to say to this committee that the time will come where we are going to deal with the facts, and also those implicated will be called to appear before the committee. Then the committee will make a sober conclusion about the activities of that day. So for us as this committee, as members of this committee, Honorable Chairperson, is to make sure that we don't attach our emotions or our feelings about the cases that are referred to this committee. Ours is to make sure that we are on the fact-finding mission, that whatever findings that we come come to the conclusion of those findings are based on the fact that was presented before this committee. So, Honorable Chairperson, with those few words, I want to support your conclusion in summarizing the fact, in summarizing what is it that we are expected to do. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chairperson? I'm not sure if it's me or am I still in the committee meeting or not?
We can hear you.
We can hear you, Deputy Chief.
We can hear you, Deputy Chief. Okay, thank you.
Deputy Chief left.
Oh.
Yeah, the chair has left the...
Yeah, we lost the chairperson there.
We lost the chair. Yeah, I think it's a network problem.
Namta, can you please check the chairperson?
Okay, well, I will do so, Chief.
Members, I was cut off earlier. Can you hear me?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
I can hear you.
Okay. My one gadget is giving me difficulty, so I'm using another one. I was cut off. I couldn't hear the concluding remarks of the Deputy Chief Whip. But I heard the arguments that she was presenting. Are you done, Honorable Tafudi?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. The next speaker would be Honorable Hussein. Can you please just be mindful of the time? I don't want us to get into further arguments. I think we've made points. For now, we're supplementing the points that we're making. Honorable Hussein, if you can come in.
Yeah, no, Chair, I am mindful of the time. I will take less than the 2 minutes you allocated to me. I just wanted to make 2 points very quickly, please. The one is that when I listen to Honorable Ndlozi's comments, I'm even more convinced that there must be an inquiry and that we must proceed further. When you say that someone has already paid for, been punished for their conduct, it means then that there was conduct that needs to be probed. So even by his own mission and submission, I'm convinced that we actually need to probe the matter further. Second point, Chair, is just to remind you about the recommendation that I made in respect of the comments that Honorable Paulson had made to the Deputy Presiding Officer at the time. Thank you, Vim.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Ben. I am mindful of that. I was on that later on. Honorable Suela.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Deputy Chief has covered me and the latter speaker, because here, Chair, we are not the initiator, as our legal advisor has advised us. The matter has been referred to us, and we are now trying it. So we are initiating to deal with the matter. So we are not dealing with the merits and the demerits of the matter at this stage. So we are not dealing with the merits and the demerits of the matter at this stage. So I don't want to dispute what Honorable Ndlozi has said, but on issues of procedure, I think we are on the right track. So I'm also supporting your summary. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lothric.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think it is important. It is very clear we need to proceed to an inquiry. But linking to what Honorable Hussein has said, we must be careful not to limit the scope too much, because we could be confronted by new facts when looking at the evidence. At this point, we don't know exactly what was said by each and every one. So I would just ask that we keep an open mind that there could be more charges and more issues that come to the fore when this whole matter is being investigated.
Thank you very much. Can you go to Honorable Ndlozi?
Thanks, Chair. I don't agree with the procedural reading that you made. So let me put it on record. What stage are we at? Chairperson, can I proceed?
Yeah, please proceed.
Yeah. So the question before us is, should we charge Honorable Nazir Paulson? Should we institute a disciplinary case or proceeding against Honorable Paulson? How do we answer that question? We interrogate the evidence. Are there grounds, based on the video, based on his written representation, based on the complaint? Should we do a disciplinary case against him? That's your recommendation, is that we must do a disciplinary case, appoint an initiator and charge Honorable Paulson. So you are all wrong to say, to arrive at that conclusion, we can't interrogate the evidence. It's not true. So the process we arrest, that's why we have the video, Chairperson. Let's be, at least, even if you disagree, but don't distort the process. That's why we have the video. That's why we ask Honorable Paulson to write to us. Otherwise, we would have said the initiator must do all of that. So what stage are we at? We are at, on the basis of what we have, should we charge Paulson or not? And I'm saying we shouldn't. Why? One, the evidence is clear. The Deputy Speaker already dealt with the matter in relation to this single individual called Paulson. For his conduct in Parliament, he lost an important constitutional privilege to represent the people of South Africa that elected him for the rest of the house of the business. That's a big punishment. For his conduct, what else do you have? You've got other conduct that we are not speaking about, because apparently it was not referred to us, and that's my final point. The person that spoke, I don't know from the staff, who was advising us on the procedure, quotes a rule that says, when we interrogate the fact, we can initiate. We can do so. It's not true, again, that we can't, Honorable Steve. It's not true that
on the basis of what we have seen there, you can't say Milner must be charged, Natasha Mazon must also be charged. They must all come explain the assaults. You can't say that we can't do that. And I'm saying to you, those are the only people whose conduct was not subjected to discipline. So let's be clear about the procedure, not mislead each other. You can still arrive at the same conclusion that you're going to charge Mr. Paul Smith. But you can't say, no, the process we are initiating of a DC against him will determine whether we must do a DC against him. You are wrong, comrade. So on the basis of the evidence, the complaint, even the legal advice, I'm saying to you, Paulson has already been punished by the... Even the speaker's letter says so. Says the deputy speaker dealt with this matter already on the day in question. So what more do you want? I'm saying the only thing that you can do after you've seen all that has happened, you need to charge Mazon. You need to charge Milner. Because there are the only two people in the whole evidence that whose conduct was not subjected to discipline. They were not punished. There's nothing that happened to them. And she still has the audacity, maybe out of white privilege, I don't know, to still say, no, Nasir must be pursued. He must be charged. I find this fundamentally unjust. And for all of us to sit here and behave like we are not passing that judgment already, it's unfortunate, comrade. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I still see hands, and I thought that, do we still want to have a third bite on this matter, honorable members? Or these are old hands?
Honorable
Lakude.
Thank you very much, honorable chairperson. Earlier on, I forgot to bring this point to the meeting, that as members of parliament, we are empowered by the rules that whenever we are agreed in the house with regard to a ruling or whatever, or the proceedings of the house, we have that privilege to write to the speaker, and the speaker will decide where to refer the matter to. So it is on that basis that today we are seated with this matter. And a disciplinary proceeding have two outcomes, either a guilty outcome or not guilty outcome. So it is the responsibility of this committee to probe a case that is referred to it. So this is where we are. We cannot be told by one member in this committee that we should not deal with this matter. As members of the Powers and Privileges Committee, we must probe any case that is brought before us and come to our own conclusion without being influenced by anything or anyone. So this is what is bestowed upon us as members of this committee. I wanted to bring that to this meeting, honorable chairperson. Thank you very much.
That is a very, very dumb submission. I don't think honorable Lakude is dumb.
Honorable Josie,
I'll pretend as if I need to hear
that honorable. That is a very unfortunate submission.
Point of order.
Do we need procedural training
here? Honorable Josie,
you can't investigate Paulson by charging him.
Out of order. Honorable Josie, I'm going to ask that you must be taken out.
Don't take me out. What is your problem? I'm mute, Abiano. Feel away, man. Hey, I'll get him down.
No,
more mess.
Violet, wait, man. I'm
muted. Get out, man. No, illegal background. If I don't know what it
is. You have procedure that you wrong. All of you combined.
Honorable Siwela, Honorable Glossy. Honorable Glossy, you know you are out of order. You know you are extremely out of order. What you are doing is not allowed by the rules of parliament.
You cannot punish a person twice. You can't punish a person twice.
But accept that your views are not the most supreme, the most accurate.
In this case, logic is supreme. My views in this case are bad. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Well, others may think that they have better ideas than you, but all of them, this is a committee of parliament. That's why we have got all these views. They must be allowed to be expressed. So when you express your views, don't think that...
Once expressed, the rules must, the views must be told that they are wrong, they are procedurally unfair, they have no logic. The views are wrong.
Chairperson, won't allow him to behave like he's doing.
Okay, let's continue, members. If Honorable continue to interject, members, your host to remove him immediately. Let me just summarize the discussion, Honorable Members. Mamsuela. Mute.
Thank
you. Okay. It's getting heated now. One, we received a referral in line with the Powers and Privileges Act that we deal with the matters that are referred to. We followed up the matter as per the previous decisions, sought further documents, and requested an opinion from senior counsel. The opinion
when we say we're going to charge him, who did he threaten?
Honorable Chairperson, on a point of order. Can we be protected, Honorable Chairperson? The host should just tag out Honorable Ndlozi, because you are summarizing with an intent to close the meeting. He's coming back unrecognized. Can we be protected, because we are all in this meeting and we respect your ruling as the chairperson? Thank you very much.
Okay, the order is sustained. I've already given an instruction. In fact, what should happen, Namcha, in the next meeting, both yourself and me must be the host. You must allow me the status of your host as the chairperson of the meeting, so that if anybody else does something and we are calling that person to order and that person continues, I must immediately take
it. If we are all vaccinated, we must meet physical. I want to see this thing of kicking out. I want to see
it. You are out of order, please.
If we are vaccinated, let's meet physical in parliament, not virtual, so that we can see this power you have of kicking out people. Huh?
But what is happening to you today, Honorable Ndlozi?
Who?
Please.
Injustice. That is what is happening. Injustice and white privilege. Feel white privilege.
Members, Namsa, why are you not removing Honorable
Ndlozi? Protector Mahua. You are dignifying Mahua.
Namcha, why are you not acting when I said you must act on the member?
No, he is already removed. He's removed, Chair.
Honorable Ndlozi is still on the platform. But anyway, let me continue speaking. Namcha, please just do as I say you must do. Remember, there are rules there, and the chairperson is responsible for the application of these rules. If somebody
I'm still waiting for this power to of you remove me. Kinyaka we
okay, members, let me just summarize. Please, I'm your host. I'm normally the host in the other meetings that I chaired in the other committees. So please, next time, please make me the host as the chair. You know there are rules.
Chair, we can't hear you.
Now I'm the one who's kicked out of the meeting now. I'm not sure whether I'm still back in the meeting. Can you hear me, members?
Yes,
Chair, we hear you now.
Okay. I think instead of kicking out the member who was misbehaving in the but it's okay, let me just summarize. We members are saying we have appointed the senior counsel to evaluate the evidence before us and to give us an opinion whether can we proceed or not to proceed. Then for us to proceed, and we are placing that before the committee. So the interrogation of the evidence counsel and the prima facie view is that there is evidence for us to proceed to sustain a charge of a threat. So to accuse us of not sufficiently interrogating matters is not fair. We've done that. That is the advice that we've received. So we are proceeding, and I hear the members are saying, the majority of the members are saying that we must proceed to prefer charges against the Honorable Colson. The members are also supporting the recommendation that we must appoint an initiator. Parliament must do that in consultation with the chair, so it's something that we will do. Members are also adding that there must be an additional charge of contempt against the presiding officer on the day, Honorable Speaker, which is an additional charge that will add on the charges that we are going to prefer against Honorable Paulson. So evidence will be led. If the committee comes to a different conclusion at the end of the inquiry, the committee would have done so after looking at the evidence. So that is the view of the committee. I think the behavior of Honorable Ndozi must be condemned with the seriousness that it deserves. It is not the conduct that we expect from members of Parliament. This is a forum for the sort of, call it the fastidious. The content is a forum for various views to be, to content, to be shared here. All the members who are here have got the right to express their view. You express your views, you keep quiet, the other member does, so that the decorum of this house can at material times be maintained. And what Ndozi, Honorable Ndozi has done, I think is not correct, it's out of order, and he should not be allowed to continue to do that.
we have asked him to leave the house, to leave this committee by taking him out. And I think that this committee must express its serious reservation against such conduct. No matter how we feel about the matters before the committee, but there's no need for us to be emotional when we approach the issue. And we must be Democrats, accept democratic outcomes. If the majority of the people say so, accept that you have a minority view. The same way those who proposed and you were seconded on the first matter, he was the first to express the views, but the members supported him. Even in this instance, he must accept that the members does not share his views, and that's how decisions are taken in the committee of parliament and in parliament, because they are taken on the basis of the majority. So, members, with that being said, I think we'll proceed like this. There will be an exchange of correspondence. I think the first thing will be to appoint the initiator, and the initiator will help us with correspondence to the affected, in particular Honorable Paulson. Would have to be notified of the day, and those by in consultation with the team parliament, and we'll take it from. Thank you very much. This meeting stands adjourned until further. We'll communicate the formal hearing as soon as the correspondences have been exchange, and we are ready to meet. Thank you very much, Ms. Kamel. The meeting is adjourned.